We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
To be honest, I would put myself in the same category as D-Wade.
Now Artest is jumped over the scorer's table. Artest is in the stands.
This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play.
When I go to the writers to tell me who can guard in this league, I'll put a gun to my own head.
Welcome to the RotoWire NBA podcast. It is Wednesday, October 16th. Nick Whalen here with James Anderson. James, it's been a while since you and I have talked about the NBA. You've been in full baseball mode. You were just in Arizona over the weekend at First Pitch. But we have a ton to get to. We're going to do our annual podcast predicting the All-Star rosters for each conference. We'll go through our awards predictions. We'll do some prop bets that we like, talk first coach fired. Basically just trying to try to kill some time as we kind of trickle to the end of the preseason. And you know, now we're less than a week away until the start of the regular season next Tuesday. But first of all, how was Arizona? I haven't really talked to you about this.
It was fun. Yeah, I love going there and hanging out with a bunch of other people in the industry. I mean, the baseball was fine, but it's more about just kind of seeing people that you see once a year. So yeah, it was fun, but good to be back.
This is basically the like NBA Summer League of baseball, more or less?
Yeah, sure. Something like that.
All right. Well, with that, let's get to the All-Star rosters. You know, obviously now with the player drafts, the top two vote getters end up being the captains. We know how that works. So it's no longer 12 East guys versus 12 West guys. But you still pick, of course, from that pool of 24, 12 from each conference. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to go give me your entire team? Do you want to go every other? Give me your top five, whatever you think's best.
How about I give you my East starters and then you can give me your East starters and then we can do the reserves.
Deal.
Okay, so, you know, I think Kyrie is a lock. I think Giannis is a lock. I think Embiid is a lock. And then you have a forward spot and a guard spot. I think Kemba Walker in the second guard spot, because, you know, he'll be good and he'll get the Celtic vote. They typically are one of the better fan bases in terms of voting for this. And Walker had a ton of votes last year, partly because the All-Star game was in Charlotte, but he at least has a decent base, and there's a lot of solid people competing with him, I think, there. But I think Kemba is the second guard, and then you know how big of a Miami Heat / Jimmy Butler fan I am this year, so I'm going to give Butler the third forward spot.
I think Jimmy Butler could maybe have a case to be a guard too, which probably helps him. You know, I think if there's like a, if you're
I guess I didn't double check whether.
Yeah, right. I mean, either way, we're not really too concerned with that. But I think if that helps his case. You know, like sure. let's say Kemba does have a crazy first half and he's a lock at guard, you could maybe shoehorn Butler into the other forward spot. I'm with you on Giannis and Embiid. I think those two are locks. I think I would be pretty surprised if Giannis is not the captain again for one of the teams. Kyrie Irving, I'm with you. He's another starter for me. I didn't have Kemba as a starter. I see your point. I think if the Celtics are somewhere between second and fourth in the East at the All-Star break, you know, he's going to get that Celtic vote. You know, you're going to want to get who's probably the best player, the leading scorer from that team in the All-Star game. So I have him on my roster, but not a starter. I'm going to go with Brad Beal and Jimmy Butler as my other two starters.
So I want to tear apart your Brad Beal selection quickly.
Eviscerate it.
He was like, I think like 10th in voting, a fan voting among like backcourt players in the East last year. And it has obviously nothing to do with his talent. It's just there is, it's not like there's a big section of like huge Bradley Beal fans.
What are you talking about? Beal Hive.
Wizards fans are not, certainly not going to be voting very often.
They might not vote at all.
So it's that equation that, and we're going to get to this with the West too. Like it's 50% fan, 25% writer, 25% player, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, it's easy to see Beal getting a ton of love from the writers, maybe the players. But
he finished third among players last year for what it's worth.
I just don't think that fan, you need to get like something from the fans, to be a starter. And I don't see the fans turning out to vote in Beal, who will be playing on one of the worst teams in the conference.
So. I got
to
say, I didn't put quite as much math into it. And you are right. I mean, he finished 10th in fan voting, 3rd in player voting, and 5th in media voting. The media had Kyrie was number 1 across the board in all three. Right. Kemba was 2nd in players, 2nd in media, 3rd in fans. Dwayne Wade was 2nd in fans, so I guess we can cross him out. Although I would not rule out Dwayne Wade coming back just to play in the All-Star game.
Well, he'd love to, yeah. I mean, that's the point about Kemba, though, is he's got that nice high floor, I think, in all three of those voting bases.
Very true. One of the guys, though, who did finish ahead of Beal in the media last year was Oladipo. I think we can cross him out. He was just behind Beal in the player voting. So I think it will come around. I am with you, though. It's going to be tough for him to start.
I think it's... And again, I went into this thinking of, I don't know why I think of Jimmy Butler as a small forward.
I think you could make a case that he's a guard for the purposes of this.
To me, I think it'll be between Kemba Walker and Ben Simmons for that second guard spot, because I think Simmons will get more fan votes than Beal, and he'll be on a good team, which typically, you know, I think players and writers will kind of trend towards those guys as well. But it's close for that second guard spot.
Yep. Yeah, I think my argument, I guess, is Beal will be more deserving. Yours is probably the more logical argument that I am with you. I think Simmons is probably going to, I mean, he like tripled him in votes last year, and that was with a lot of people voting for Dwayne Wade and Kemba Walker, and I think both of their totals, obviously you can 2,200 or 2.2 million votes are now available that went to D. Wade last year, and I think Kemba's total probably comes down with the game not being in Charlotte. But at least, I think we at least agree that all of the guys we mentioned are deserving. You know, I wouldn't fight you on Kemba
Walker. Who was your fifth guy? Your
Butler, Beal, Kyrie, Embiid.
So you had Butler.
I have Butler. Okay. I think he's going to be really good. I think the Heat are going to be good enough, and I think there's going to be this kind of narrative of, you know, number one option Jimmy Butler is back, and I think he's the type of guy that's pretty compelling, and a lot of fans are going to want to vote for him.
Right.
All right. So you want to give me your reserves for the East?
Yeah. So I have Beal. Obviously, I mean that the coaches pick all the reserves. So even though his team's going to be terrible, I mean he's one of the five best players in the conference probably. So I think he gets in on the coach vote. And then Vucevic, Ben Simmons, Pascal Siakam, Chris Middleton, Blake Griffin, and Jason Tatum. This was very hard, and I try not to get into like who deserves it. I try to think of who are the coaches going to vote in, and you know, you have Middleton, who's going to be on the team with the most wins. I think the Bucks will just get a second representative by default. You know, Blake, I think, is incredibly risky from an injury standpoint. But if he stays relatively healthy, I think the numbers alone will get, and reputation, the coaches will respect him on that. I think Siakam, kind of the same. I don't really see the coaches not voting Siakam in.
I think Siakam's a virtual lock. Right. Like he's the consummate guy that the coaches would vote for.
So basically, my last two spots were Griffin and Tatum. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Griffin, there's injury. Like if he's hurt, he obviously isn't going to play. Or if he misses like 20 games, he probably won't get voted in. And the Pistons, I actually don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. So team success may not be in his favor. Tatum, you know, there's a lot of players competing for shots on that team. So, you know, he kind of has to make the leap to kind of get into that mix. I was thinking about someone like Miles Turner possibly deserving it. I just don't. I think, like, from a counting stat standpoint, coaches are going to look and say, like, oh, 12 mm-hmm. points, 8 rebounds, whatever. Like,
I think there's a chance the Pacers might just not be that good. I don't think we're going to be compelled to put a Pacer on the team.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
Okay, so I have 11 of the 12 that you do. The only one is I don't have Vooch. I feel like he...
You don't have Vooch.
I don't have Nikola Vucevic on my All-Star team.
I think that's close to a lock.
He was right there, obviously. I mean, like you said, those last few spots are kind of up for grabs. But I went all the guys you named. I have Trae Young. I understand he's not exactly the consummate coach's pick. I think the numbers are going to be really good. I think he's... you're going to be someone who gets a ton of fan votes. And I know that doesn't matter for reserves, but I think there's going to be a lot of hype. I think if the NBA had their choice, he would be in the game. You know, not to suggest that the NBA is going to influence what the coaches do. I know defense matters. He's not very good at defense. But I think he's somebody that is going to make a compelling case, at least. And Vooch is just kind of the odd man out. It was kind of, I thought about removing Tatum. I thought about removing Middleton, but your argument for Middleton holds up every year. You know, the team that has the most wins or even the second most wins usually gets two guys, and especially the fact that he was there last year, I think if his numbers are similar, it's going to be hard to pull him out. Tatum, I feel like, is kind of the same case where Boston's going to be good, Kemba's kind of a lock, and then you're going to feel like you know, it's going to be a second guy from Boston versus a guy from Indiana who, you know, maybe the Pacers have six fewer wins than Boston, and I think that's going to kind of be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Magic will be in the top six or seven in wins when the voting goes down. And yeah, I mean, I just based on the way I expect coaches to vote, I don't expect Trey to get in. I think he'll certainly be deserving, probably more deserving than someone like Middleton or even Tatum. But I think Beal gets in on a lot on reputation.
Yep.
But I could picture coaches just completely skipping over the Hawks and just moving on to the playoff team or teams that are on track to make the playoffs.
As is the case with a lot of these guys, especially guys like Trae Young who haven't made an All-Star team, like if the Hawks are the Hawks from last year and they're on pace to win 29 games, he doesn't get in. But
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, if they're one of those teams, that, you know, I think they're, whether you believe it or not, I think they're in that group of consensus, like, could be the 8 seed in the East. I don't think they will be, but there are people who believe that. And if they're on that kind of course, you know, that's what it's going to take for him to get in.
I mean, I don't even think, I think they're going to go under their 33.5 mm-hmm. win loss line. And then I also think they're going to win more games in the second half of the season than they do in the first half of the season, because they'll get to beat up on teams that are kind of tanking and stuff in the second half. Yep. And it'll take longer to kind of, mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be playing a lot of young players. So yep. I don't think they're going to have, I mean,
Have Cam Reddish.
They might have like 11 wins when the coaches are making these All-Star.
Now, that is a good point. I mean, this is virtually last year's team with even more inexperience on the wing. And as much as I love Trae Young and John Collins, and like I'm even weirdly high on Alex Len this season, like there's not a lot on that bench. There's not a lot on the wing. You know, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish are not going to be ready right away. So those are all good points. Other guys I considered, some heavier than others. Miles Turner, like you said, I think he'll be right in the mix. Zach LaVine, if he's averaging 26 a game, you know, I don't think the Bulls will win enough games. But for him, it's kind of the same argument with Trae Young, where if they're kind of the surprise team through the first half, you know, maybe they sneak a guy on, kind of like Vooch last year, honestly, in a lot of ways. Lauri Markkanen, you know, if he's the guy instead of LaVine.
Yeah, I think Markkanen's more likely
he'd get the coach
vote,
I think.
All-star game than LaVine because, A, the coaches get three front court spots and only two back court spots. They get two wild card picks as well. But I can see a scenario where Markkanen is like the front runner for most improved player and just a – you know, contributing to winning a little bit more than LaVine, and so therefore getting the coaches now. But
yeah, LaVine is on the extreme low end of guys who coaches want to see in an All-Star game. John Collins, he's him and Markkanen to me are kind of in the same boat this year as far as, you know, if they blew up and kind of went to that next borderline All-Star
level.
They'll
have level. The numbers. Right. It'll just be do the coaches look at them as All-Star caliber guys.
Aaron Gordon was on my list. Tobias Harris, just, you know, if Philly is up by Milwaukee by like five games or something and they're just off to this crazy hot start, maybe they sneak three in. And then the last guy neither of us have mentioned, Andre Drummond, who is an All-Star, I think. Was he on the team last year? Definitely 2 years ago.
I believe he was last year. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan, and I think I already have Blake in. So yeah,
they're not getting two. I'm getting,
I could see him getting it. Like, if Blake is just has missed too much time to be a consideration, I could maybe see Drummond getting in, but I don't really think he's that good.
Yeah. I mean, as is the case every year, one of the 12 guys that we mentioned is going to get hurt or is going to miss 15 games somewhere and just kind of get knocked out of contention.
I like the Aaron Gordon. I don't think he's going to get in, but like, there's a scenario where he kind of takes a leap and maybe, he starts to look like the best player on that team. Yeah.
Gordon, Markkanen, and Collins are all kind of in that tier for me. Okay, give me your five starters in the Western Conference.
Harden, Curry, Davis, LeBron, Kawhi.
Yep, I have the same. For as deep and talented as the West is, and like, you know, we're not even talking about Jokic yet, I still feel like there is kind of this consensus top five, and it kind of works out nice positionally. And I think you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find, I guess maybe if you want to make a case for Jokic over Davis, if you want to say that, you know, Davis and LeBron maybe struggle a little bit or Davis gets nicked up at some point, you could say that. But I think there's a pretty clear hierarchy here.
So I have a prediction. I think that Zion Williamson will finish top three in Western Conference fan voting with, I think it'll be him, LeBron, and Steph as the top three vote getters from the fans. But I don't think he will be able to get in simply because the last time a rookie got in was Blake Griffin, and they've since changed the voting process so that fans don't account for the entire hall. So, I mean, I think if it was up to the fans, I think Zion would be starting over probably Kawhi, but there's that writer and player vote, and I can't see him getting really any of those votes from the writers or the players in terms of who should be starting. So while I think it would be awesome for Zion to start that game, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is like probably the most boring All-Star game player that you could imagine, but
Paul Millsap made an All-Star game.
I just think the way the NBA has, and it's kind of going to bite the NBA, because I think the NBA would rather have Zion start than a guy like Kawhi too, and it's just this new process makes it almost mathematically impossible for someone like him to make it.
I agree. I think it was kind of designed to prevent maybe guys like Luka from making it, or even Trae Young, you know, like guys who, like, just last year, Luka was second in the West front court in fan voting.
Or guys like Ersan Ilyasova. Like,
well, like Zaza,
people,
I don't
like,
think we need to single out Ersan, but undeserving guys who have bigger fan bases than, you know, Kuzma, I think was bordering on that for a while. Dwayne Wade, someone even argued, but no, I agree. I will say I don't think the players will necessarily vote for Zion. I agree with you on that, but I could see the media buying in.
Maybe. Well, I could. No media member is going to vote for Zion because they think he's one of the five best players in the West. I could see them maybe voting for him just because they think it would be the coolest thing to watch.
Right.
Like, if they have to cover the game, like, they might rather have him in it. But,
well, I think last year it would have been pretty controversial to vote Doncic over, I don't know, Paul George, I guess, at the time in the West. Whereas, like, this year, if Zion is as good as he has looked so far and kind of keeps this up, I think there will be such hype that it won't be like all that controversial, I guess, for lack of a better term.
So if there's an injury replacement, does Adam Silver get?
Yes.
So like that.
Oh,
I think that's like Zion's ticket in.
Yep.
Right. There's an injury and the commish puts him in, and maybe that happens. But just for the purpose of this exercise, I'm not going to project that.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, he'll already be there for the dunk contest, you would think. So I have that same starting five, like we said. Do you want to give me your bench?
Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Nikola Jokic, Karl-Anthony Towns, Luka Doncic, Rudy Gobert, and Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. We have 10 of 12 the same.
Okay.
I did not have Russell Westbrook and I did not have Rudy Gobert. I do have Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if the Jazz are getting two. I think it's going to be pick one or the other. And I feel like Mitchell, this is maybe the year that he ascends over Gobert. I have Paul George mostly because I don't think he's going to miss too much time at the beginning of the year. If he ends up missing 10 to 12 games, that might rule him out. But I think the Clippers are going to be right up there at the top. I think he's going to kind of pick up where he left off and be the best number two in the league. And I have Drew Holiday. I went, you know, back and forth on this. There are honestly five or six guys you can make a pretty legitimate case for the 12th spot in the West, maybe even more so than the bottom of the East. And I don't, I'm ready to fully buy in on the Pelicans. I think if they're good enough, you know, the case that we just laid out for why Zion won't make it, I think they're going to deserve somebody. And if there's a player who has the player's respect, has the media's respect, and yeah, I think certainly won't have the fan, you know, kind of capabilities of garnering votes that Zion does, but we'll do enough in that respect to kind of be right there. I think it's Drew Holiday, and I think if it's the coaches picking, they would pick Drew over Zion.
Well, I agree they would pick Drew over Zion. Quickly on Paul George, I'm really low on him this year just because I think he might miss 20 games in the first half. I think he might miss, you know, maybe 10 before he returns, 10 to 12 to maybe even like 13, 14. And then I think they're just going to give him a ton of rest days. So I just don't really think Paul George is going to have enough games played for the coaches to put him in. I think if I'm wrong about that, I certainly think he will get in. And then I think the Jazz are going to have the best record in the West at the time of the All-Star voting, which is why I have them getting two in, like kind of like the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think I don't feel great. Like, I mean, like Gobert and Towns and Jokic, I think all three will be deserving. I could see, you know, I mean, the Jazz made such a stink about Gobert not getting in last year. I wonder if maybe the coaches will have that in the back of their mind and be like, well, he has won back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards.
Yep.
We probably screwed up by putting, like, LaMarcus Aldridge in over him last year, so we can't leave him out this year. But that, like I said, I think the Jazz will just have such a good record that they'll get a couple guys in. With, like, Drew, just on paper, I think Drew could deserve it over both of the Jazz guys,
yeah.
But if they've got 10 more wins, maybe that matters. And then I think the Pelicans and the Mavs are like the two kind of clear upstarts. That's not a hot take, but I think Doncic, you know, if he's averaging like 25, 8, and 7,
yep.
And the Mavericks are over 500, I think that gets him in.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Doncic doesn't make it. I almost think if he just replicates last year with a little more efficiency, like he almost has to play his way out of the All-Star game.
And like the no Dennis, like the fact that it's finally like a roster,
yes,
that actually makes a lot of sense around, right, him, I think that'll allow him to do that.
So if you had to say who your last guy in was, like who is the toughest call?
Donovan Mitchell. Like I said, I mean the three front court spots and only two back court spots, returning defensive player of the year, back-to-back years aspect, I think. And then, like, I think the coaches are just going to look at the standings and be like, oh, the Jazz have, you know, the best record. Why do they have the best record? Well, they have the best defensive player. And so I think he would get in over Mitchell, but I mean, I'd be shocked if they'd at least one of them didn't get in, but I think Mitchell would be the last guy for me.
So I feel like you're usually lower on Westbrook than I am. I'm surprised that Westbrook made the cut and wasn't even your last guy. Especially since he's a coach pick.
I just don't see any way the coaches leave him off. I think the Rockets will have like a top three record. And I think it's going to be in the regular season. I think this Rockets team is going to be pretty fun. And I think that they're going to win a ton of games. And I think Westbrook will rebound in all of the efficiency categories where he sucked last year. I think he's going to take a step forward in, and so I would be pretty shocked if the coaches left Westbrook out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if that's the case and he bounces back, then he's a lock, and I'll look stupid for having Holiday or Mitchell or PG ahead.
I think either Westbrook will be an All-Star or Mike D'Antoni will be first coach fired.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be – he's not going to be borderline. He's either going to be a lock or it's going to be a disaster and no one's voting for him. Okay, so other guys that I had that came to mind who could maybe play their way into like that 11th or 12th spot, Zion, like we already talked about, Devin Booker. I don't think the Suns are going to be remotely good enough for that to happen, but you know the numbers at least are going to be there. I really wanted to find a spot, like I told you earlier this week, for Porzingis, but it's so tough. I mean, if this was the East, I would be very comfortable putting Doncic and Porzingis in together. But, you know, even if everything clicks for the Mavericks, like they're not going to have a top five record. And like,
they're not going to get two in.
Right. I mean, the Nuggets, I think the Nuggets are going to have maybe the best record at the All-Star break, and I don't even have them getting two. And if it's one or the other, I think it's got to be Doncic, unless Porzingis just goes nuts. Jaren Jackson, I mean, in a few years, I don't think he'll be close this year. De'Aaron Fox could probably have a month where he looks like an all-star, but I think in the end he'll probably fall short.
He actually was my first guy out. I had him a little closer than Drew just because I think it's possible the Kings and Pelicans have a similar record, and then when you look at like who's the MVP on those two teams, like it'll be clearly De'Aaron Fox, whereas I think there might be a slight Zion Drew sort of
Brandon
splitting.
Ingram, right.
Okay, save it.
Aldridge and DeRozan are on the list by default because one of them makes it every single year, and I will not be surprised if we turn around and Aldridge gets the nod over Paul George when the time comes. Chris Paul always going to be in the mix. I think his numbers are going to be really good, but I just, you know, 60 games max at this point, and they're just, the team's not going to be very good, so I think he probably falls out. Well, I have Gobert on this list, but you have him in. That could very well be the case. CJ McCollum, who is always on the cusp, has never made the All-Star game. Doesn't look like this is going to be the year unless there are a bunch of injuries. And then Jamal Murray, the case for him is second best player on what could be the best team. And Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
If the Warriors surprise people, if they're in the top five or six, and Draymond is kind of back to being 2016 Draymond, I think there will be a serious push to get him in.
Yeah, no, those are I mean, I can't really see any way that Murray or McCollum get in, but I think the rest of them are all very feasible.
Yeah, and I would even include Jaren Jackson on there. Looking back, I don't know what he would have to do to really get serious All-Star consideration.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I forgot about him, sorry. But yeah, Jackson to me probably at least 2 years away from getting into the Western Conference All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at most of these guys, like other than LeBron, you know, barring player movement to the East, like it's not like any of these guys are like on the verge of falling off anytime soon.
No, it's a very high bar to clear to get into that game, and team success means so much, especially out West, that it's really tough to see a Grizzly getting in anytime soon.
Okay, let's do individual awards. I will let you lead off with your MVP.
Yeah, I'm going with Giannis. It's just going to be, I think there's going to be even more of a, like, I think he'll be better this year than he was last year, and I think the Bucks will win about as many games as they won last year, and so, you know, something could always happen where another player just, like, I think Anthony Davis probably makes the most sense for me in, like, a how does Giannis not win the MVP if he doesn't get hurt, and I think maybe if Davis just has a career year and the Lakers get, like, a top two seed, I think that's one way it could happen, but you know, I think my pick for next most deserving will be Steph Curry, but it would have to be so crazy because I you know, other than that Russell Westbrook first triple double year, we almost never see MVPs on sub 50 win teams, and I don't see the Warriors getting to 50 wins. So I think like the Bucks get to 60 wins. Giannis is even better than he was last year. As long as he stays healthy, I think he's the clear favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say I went contrarian, but I don't think picking James Harden counts as contrarian. I'm with you. Giannis is the favorite. I do worry that, you know, the bar was set pretty high last year statistically and in terms of team wins. And as I've kind of harped on all offseason, I really think they're going to end up missing Malcolm Brogdon. I don't think this roster is as good as it was last year. It's close, but I don't know. I'm not willing to just pencil the Bucks in, you know, for 65 wins. I think there's...
I'll pencil them in for 58 wins.
Yeah, and that's probably enough. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, how much higher do you think Giannis can go statistically? I think one of the biggest arguments is last year he only played 32.8 minutes per game. That was down 4 full minutes from 2 years ago. I mean, if he plays even 35, there's an argument that he goes maybe 30, 13, 6, 1.5, 2 blocks. I mean, that wins him the MVP. Yeah. It's just a question of kind of whether they'll need to lean on him that heavily.
I think he has gotten better as a passer pretty much every year. I think he will continue to get better as a passer. I think he will be slightly more efficient as a shooter than he was last year. So, and the Brogdon thing, I don't really think it's going to hurt him at all until the playoffs. Like, I don't think his absence will be noticed at all during the regular season, just because they go, you know, a solid 10 or 11 deep. They're going to blow so many teams out. I just don't think they're going to notice him not being there in the regular season. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the next time Giannis doesn't get better will be the first time. So
true.
I'm going to continue to bet on that.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to fight you on Giannis. I think,
you know, so you went hard. I was surprised you went Harden over AD, though. I mean, I feel like Harden just won't be able, like, if his numbers are worse than they were the year before by the fact that Westbrook's there, I think it'd be rare for a player to win the MVP with his numbers mm-hmm. taking a dip from the previous season.
That is true. But, you know, I mean, as far as Davis, LeBron's putting the narrative out there. So it's already out there. No, I don't think Davis. The case for Davis is like he would have to almost outperform Giannis, and I don't think that's possible. You know, like Davis's best season is basically what Giannis had last year, and Davis has, you know, the argument that he splits votes with LeBron. Well, he's the second option, sure. Whereas Giannis doesn't have that. I don't
think
love the
to
Davis
me it would
MVP
be kind
case.
Of like a voter fatigue type of thing where Giannis might still be more deserving technically, but if the Lakers,
yeah.
You know, like the Lakers, what their over-under is, what, like 52.5, something like that. If they 51.5, if they win 56, 57 games, which is completely in play, like if both those guys are healthy all year, yep. And LeBron really goes to that, I'm going to average double-digit assists, and Anthony Davis is like top three defensive player of the year, like
yep.
that I guess is because it always. You kind of have to look for a team that's going to win 50-plus games,
yep.
And then you.
I guess I don't think the Lakers are going to be like an elite team in the regular season.
I don't either.
That's kind of the argument for me is I think Davis misses games every now and then, as he always does. I mean, he already had a sprained thumb in the preseason. Like those type of injuries are always popping up for him. And I think the expectations are so high for the Lakers that even if they win 52 games, like that might seem like a slight disappointment.
How do you rank Davis, Jokic, and Curry in terms of most likely to win MVP?
Curry, Jokic, Davis, I think.
Oh, okay.
And that's, I don't know. I mean, I like Davis, obviously. This speaks more to like how many candidates there are this year and how many like cream of the crop elite type of guys we have.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of am framing everything through the lens of like, you have to beat Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't see Jokic beating Giannis because Giannis is just going to have such an edge in defense.
Yeah.
And like the team wins at the very worst will be similar. And then, like the Bucks are going to win at least 10 more games than the Warriors, so I can't really see Curry mm-hmm. beating him. I mean, I don't think betting Giannis at plus 250 is a bad bet, even though
if you can get him at plus anything, that's a good bet.
I think he's just a pretty clear favorite.
Yep, as he should be. I guess my final argument for Harden is just that you mentioned with Gobert, like the Jazz have, you know, made a big stink about him not making it last year. Houston's been playing this narrative for the last 5 years. I mean, he's finished first or second.
Everyone hates them for it. Like all the media, the people
I agree,
that
but it's in the back
it,
of like, people's minds.
Everyone's like, just like, this is ridiculous. Like you,
I mean, I myself am on the record of saying I would have voted for Harden last year. 36 okay. points a game is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought that was worth it. And I, the chances of him scoring 36 again, I agree with you, are not great. And that's, even if he averages 33, you know, like in some people's minds, that'll be a disappointment because he went down from last year. I think he's going to come back with a vengeance and just try to do the same thing again.
Yeah, I mean, if Giannis, like say Giannis misses like 22 games and
he's out then.
Like Davis doesn't kind of have that monster year, then like Harden could certainly win it by default. Like if Giannis somehow gets out of the running, then I think Harden is a very safe fallback option mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, which is insane to say that he's your fallback. Rookie of the year, I mean, how much do you even want to talk about this one?
We don't really have to talk about that one.
No, I was a little skeptical of Zion, as you know. Just, you know, I thought there would be some shooting issues, and I think there still are.
Yeah.
You know, he hit A3 the other night. His free throw shooting hasn't been great. It hasn't mattered when you're just finishing everything within 5 feet. I mean, unless he gets hurt, he's going to be the rookie of the year.
Yep.
There's no debate. Coach of the year.
I have kind of, in keeping with my Jazz theme, I have Quinn Snyder.
Quinn Snyder. Okay, he was my runner-up. I'm going Mike Malone. I think those two kind of fit the mold of, you know, ascending team. Neither have won it, right? I know Malone for sure hasn't.
Well, yeah, neither have won it. The thing about Malone, though, is, I mean, the Nuggets were pretty lucky with their wins last year in terms of what they, you know, what they should have won in terms of just plus minus and everything. And so I think, to me, like, at best, I think they're going to get to around as many. So they won 54 games last year. The over-under is 53.5.
Yep, their expected win-loss was 51.
I actually have them not hitting that 53.5. So I'm not really seeing the Malone one, because they almost would have to win like 58, 59 games, I feel like, for, because how do you win Coach of the Year if your team just pretty much goes out and does exactly what it did the year before?
I think I'm a little higher on the Nuggets, I think, than you are. I'm a little lower on the Jazz. I don't love what they have for a bench. I think Malone's like a safe pick. You know, okay. You can cross out Bud. You know, nobody who's winning Coach of the Year in back to back seasons. But I mean, you are right. So 60 wins got it last year, Bud. 59 the year before, 55 the year before that was D'Antoni. Year before that was 73 with Kerr, 60 for Bud in 2014-15, 62 the year before that. The lowest really on this list for a non-lockout shortened season was Scott Brooks in 29-10. He went 50-32. And that was, you know, an unexpected year when Durant really, really made the leap. I don't know. I mean, I think if Denver can get to 55, 56 wins, they'll be right there. I mean, like, I don't think Frank Vogel's winning it. I don't think Doc Rivers is going to win it. You know, with that roster, I don't think people are going to, like, even if the Clippers finish first in the West, they're not going to say, what a great coaching job. You know, it's going to be, what a great GMing job. So I don't know. I think you can kind of poke holes in the case for other guys, and you can do the same for Malone. But I think Malone and Snyder are the two safest picks.
I think after those guys, I like, you know, I know you laid out the wins aspect, but I mean, I think Eric Spoelstra and Rick Carlisle and Elvin Gentry all have a case, just because, like, you know, typically the teams that, like, really surprise people can win it. And then, like, for me, I thought Dave Yeager had as good a case as anyone last year. Mm-hmm. And people just don't vote for teams that are in that sort of win range, even though they might be most deserved.
If the Bulls had a good coach, they would be kind of my dark horse. You know, I just don't trust Jim Boylan to pilot.
Nobody's voting for Jim Boylan.
Yeah, Jim Boylan's not going to pilot this team to 45 wins, you know. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the middling teams, I just don't see. You know, like, how many wins would Boston have to have for Stevens to win it? You know, like, it's not really there. I think Kenny Atkinson is a great candidate for next year to be Coach of the Year if he's still there. But all right, we'll agree to disagree on that one. Most improved player.
So I told you before this that I mean, I don't feel good about any of these. I mean, I think there's...
Did you make a list? That'd be interesting,
I mean,
to compare.
Kind of in my head, I have a list. You know, I think there's just so many. There's like over 10 guys where I could see a very real argument for them winning it. I went with Jonathan Isaac just because I think he, like, because his numbers were so mediocre last year, like his counting stats, that if he kind of makes that leap, like, he could, like, double his points per game, you know, or something like that. And just, and I think the Magic have a chance to get, like, the 4 seed. In the East, and, like, so, you know, when a team kind of makes that kind of leap, someone usually walks away with some hardware. And so I'm going to go with Isaac, but I don't feel good about it at all.
Okay. If they finish fourth in the East, I think James Borrego becomes, or Steve Clifford, excuse me, becomes an interesting option for Coach of the Year. I went De'Aaron Fox. I think he laid the narrative last year. And if you look at the last... seven of the last eight guys to win this, or eight of the last nine, excuse me, guys to win this award are either like all-stars or border or perennial all-stars, or like borderline perennial all-stars. Yeah. So Siakam, Oladipo, Giannis, McCollum, Butler, Dragic, Paul George, Ryan Anderson being the outlier, and then Kevin Love the year before him. So it's kind of gone to a guy who is ready to become a star for the foreseeable future. And that goes against
it's a big mark against my Jonathan Isaac pick.
It is, but if you look even further back, like in the mid 2000s, that was not the case at all. It was Aaron Brooks, Hito Turkoglu, Monte Ellis, Boris Diaw. It was more like a role player who ascended to a borderline star, as opposed to a borderline star becoming like a borderline superstar.
I had Tatum before I changed that and went to Isaac. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Tatum sort of definitely fits that mold of guys becoming stars. And
sure.
So does, I think De'Aaron Fox is a great call. I mean, if, you know, it's just he made such a leap last year. He was in the mix for most improved last year. I guess that kind of had me like, can he make another similar size leap? I think he can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you could also make a case for a guy like Doncic if he just goes from, you know, a rookie to a just no doubt about it all-star. But I, you know, I don't like giving it to guys in their second year because you're kind of supposed to improve. Yeah, I mean, it's completely wide open. I don't have any good feel for who's going to win that.
So here's my list of potential candidates, not in any order. De'Aaron Fox, who I have winning it, Donovan Mitchell, Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton, Lonzo Ball, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray, Terry Rozier, Bam Adebayo, Thomas Bryant, Trae Young, Lauri Markkanen, Jonathan Isaac, Jason Tatum, and I don't think this will happen, but Pascal Siakam. He'd be the first two-time winner.
Yeah, no, I mean, those are all in play. Bam Adebayo is another guy I considered.
Yep. The Lonzo case I love, but it just seems too convenient.
Well,
like, he should be the comeback player of the year if that exists.
It's certainly an easy case. It's just that there's so, you know, I think that team is kind of deep enough that it'll be tough for him to put up the stats to really warrant that.
I think in a lot of years, like, even if he just stays healthy and averages 8 assists a game, like, that would be enough. You know, like, mm-hmm. some of the names that I named off in the mid-2000s, like, he wins it probably over Hito Turkoglu. But,
right.
you know, if De'Aaron Fox is averaging 22-7-5, like, that probably cancels out.
Ball actually, Ball's path to me is just his shooting efficiency just takes a huge leap.
Because
then you can just look at it and say, oh, well, he went from, like, 38% to 44%.
Well, the case for him is he has so much room to grow, whereas, like you said, with Fox, you know, and even Siakam last year, you know, it's like, once you already make that, like, he hasn't made the first leap that a lot of these other guys have already made. We'll kind of go with the opposite of an award. First coach to get fired. This is actually pretty tough this year.
it is really tough.
I went Frank Vogel.
Right. I mean, it's super easy to see how Frank Vogel or Mike D'Antoni are first coach fired. It's just you have to also sort of predict that those teams are going to get off to rough starts, which I just don't really see happening for either of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the teams like the Pacers and Bulls could underwhelm. I just think it's unlikely that those coaches would get fired this year. I mean, the Bulls just gave him a big extension, and
that's the thing. The bad teams have, like, young coaches or recently hired coaches that I think they're okay with being bad for the most part. Like, there aren't many teams I think that have huge expectations that shouldn't have huge expectations.
I mean, Borrego's still the coach of the Hornets?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, something has happened very recently.
He could I guess he would be my pick just because I think they're going to be terrible and Michael Jordan will
they
be
just
annoyed.
Have to,
and
like, yeah, wanna, somebody has to be the sacrifice.
Yeah.
I had Scott Brooks on my list. That would almost be kind of a mutual parting of ways. I feel like, you know, he's not probably the biggest player development coach.
I don't see that one because they have to pay him so much.
True.
He has so much left on that contract.
Yeah. Billy Donovan, kind of the same situation where he was brought in to be the coach of a championship contender and now they're not that.
Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni. That would be a similar situation to Vogel, where you're all in. And
those are like the two most obvious, like, if they get off to slow starts, the guy's almost definitely getting fired.
Right, for sure. I have Boylan on the list, even with the extension. Just, there could be another mutiny. I don't know. It seems like nobody wanted him except for Gar Pax.
Yeah, maybe Gar Pax gets fired.
Okay, that's not happening. And then I also have Fizz on there. People seem to think he's on the hot seat. I don't think he should be. I think he should be.
I mean,
what are the expectations?
I mean, everyone in that... Everyone in that organization should be on the hot seat, but I just don't think he's very good. And then they're not going to win a ton of games. So
you don't think he's a good coach?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I
think he's a cool coach.
He looks like he should be a good coach, but he's not. And just the rotations last year, did you have any Knicks on your fantasy teams last year? I mean,
Mitchell Robinson was on one of
our
cheaper
teams.
There was just
had no idea, like, night to night, whether a guy was going to play 30 minutes or 12 minutes, you know? And I think that there's a very easy path for him to get fired if he is playing all their vets over all their young guys, because he's trying to send a message to their young guys. If the front office tells him...
Well, why do they give him Taj Gibson?
I...
He didn't sign Taj Gibson.
That's why everyone should be on the hot seat. Like the people that signed Taj Gibson and then the coach who's going to play Taj Gibson should all be on the hot seat.
Okay, fair enough. Let's take a look at some prop bets via the FanDuel Sportsbook.
We're going to get to Defensive Player of the Year on the Sportsbook thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I totally skipped over that. Didn't realize. But yeah, we can talk about that in conjunction with the odds. But let's start with that one right away. Sure. Anthony Davis, these odds were just updated today. Anthony Davis is +550. Joel Embiid is +750. I know those are some of the odds that you like. But in terms of the actual favorites, Rudy Gobert is +160. Giannis +420. Then you get to Davis and Embiid at 550 and 750. Who is your pick, and then who are your best bets?
So if I just had to pick and odds are out the window, I would pick Gobert to go three-peat. But I absolutely love Joel Embiid at +750. I think that is one of the best bets in that I could find NBA-related, because I think the Sixers are going to have the best defense, and that's a great place to start when you're trying to figure out who should be Defensive Player of the Year. So mm-hmm. look at the team with the best defense. If he plays maybe slightly more games than he played last year. I mean, he was
a top three candidate last year. He's been a top three candidate for the last 2 years.
I think that it's just so easy to envision how Embiid wins Defensive Player of the Year this year. And +750, I mean, they're making him kind of a long shot almost at that.
I think if he had played 75 games last year, he wins it. I don't think he's going to play 75 this year, but I also don't think he's going to play 63.
If he plays 68 games and they have the clear best defense, I think he could win it.
Yeah, I love that bet as well. I picked Giannis. It's just hard to win three straight. I mean, there's only one man in NBA history has ever done it, Dwight Howard. We'll get to him at +10,000 if you really want to do that. It's tough to really find a lot of – I mean, you can find value, I guess, below these top four, but nobody I feel great about. The only one that really kind of piqued my interest is Draymond at +1,200, because we have seen him win it before, and we've kind of seen him – enter these different modes when he's in shape and focus. But I think the guys ahead of him that we've already talked about are just too good. It's kind of passed him by.
I mean, I think the Warriors defense is going to kind of suck. So I just don't really see him winning it. Miles Turner was +2,300. Mm-hmm. And for a guy who could very easily lead the league in blocks, I think that's just really nice value. I don't think he will win because I don't think their team defense will be as good as it was last year. But, yeah, I mean, Embiid, man, I think that's one that even a casual sports bettor could look at and go throw 10, 20 bucks on.
The last one I would make a case for is Mitchell Robinson at +3,300. The argument being, in the wild event that Fizdale handles these rotations well, he plays 32 minutes a game and averages 3.9 blocks. Maybe he just laps the field in blocks and somehow that's enough. He would probably need a little bit of help in terms of some of those other guys getting hurt, but I don't hate that at +3,300.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly easy to see from a statistical standpoint how you could make that argument. It's just, I mean, how often does a player win Defensive Player of the Year on a 30-win team,
Yeah, I'm trying to look for examples right now. It's usually, historically, it's the defensive anchor on a pretty good team, at least, if not a great team.
Seed type of thing.
They don't just hand it out to the best player or the blocks leader in the league, or Hassan Whiteside would be a five-time Defensive Player of the Year. The best example I could find, I guess, is 06-07. Marcus Camby averaged 3.3 blocks per game for a Nuggets team that won 45 games. So not exactly, world beater type of team, but the Knicks aren't winning 45. No. And that Nuggets team was 11th in defense. I don't think New York will get anywhere close to the top 15.
I mean, Mitchell Robinson could have the best possible year that he could realistically have this year, and I still don't think the Knicks would have a top 20 defense. So
no. I mean, the argument for him is just he has an insane statistical year, and I don't see that happening. There's a reason he's 33-1. Let's look at some of the team props before we get back to player props. Do you like any of these numbers to win the finals? So not only come out of the conference, but also win the finals.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Bucks and the Sixers. Bucks are +600. Sixers are +750. I mean, if you make both of those bets right now, I feel 100% confident that you'll be holding a ticket that's still live when the finals start. Yes. And so that just, to me, the odds are a little just out of whack there. I mean, I think it should probably be Bucks plus 400, yeah. Sixers plus 500.
Well, and I think they'll come down. This is like betting the Patriots in August versus betting the Patriots right now.
I mean, it just, there's no way that these tickets don't look like good value picks when we get to like April. Mm-hmm. And so I like those ones. I would not touch any of the ones out west. I think that the obvious ones are kind of a little too high, and the underdog ones are just kind of sucker bets. But yeah, go ahead and make your case for this Nuggets one.
Yeah, Nuggets at plus 2,000, 20-1. I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't think the Nuggets are going to win the title, but as I've said, I think they're going to be the best team in the regular season, and that at least in theory sets them on an advantageous course to get there. And like, I think this Nuggets team is significantly deeper and possibly better overall than the Raptors team that just won the finals. I mean, they don't have Kawhi Leonard, but I think they have significantly more talent 1 through 10 or even like 1 through 12. So, I mean, if you catch a couple breaks along the way, I understand there are more teams that are standing in the way this year. But there's a case to be made at plus 2,000.
Well, I disagree with the statement about them being better than the Raptors, but the main reason I don't like this is you can get them at plus 1,200 to just win the West. And sure. I think that the my number one argument, honestly, against them winning the finals is I think they are just it's a horrible matchup for them to play either the Bucks or the Sixers. I think like the Sixers and Bucks would be huge favorites if they met them in the finals. So just take the Nuggets at plus 1,200 to get to the finals rather than plus 2,000 to win the finals.
I don't know. You think the Bucks would be heavy favorites over Denver? It's Philly, I agree with.
Well, the Bucks are going to have a top five offense and a top five defense, and the Nuggets are going to have a top five offense and a top like 20 defense. So yeah. I don't know how, like, the Bucks bear down defensively against this Nuggets team. Like, the Nuggets can't do the same thing on the other end. Like, I think the Bucks would still be able to get their buckets, and they could kind of contain the Nuggets.
Yeah, I think I would rather, I mean, Giannis is a better player than Jokic, but I would rather have the Nuggets 2-8 than Milwaukee's 2-8.
I think you're a little too high on this Nuggets 2-8 with these statements.
I think they're like as deep as any team's been in a long time.
They're deep with guys that you like having as your like fifth best player. They're not deep with guys that you'd want as your like second, third, and fourth best player.
Sure, but I mean, like, how much worse is Jamal Murray than Chris Middleton? I don't know. I mean, like, I think you could make the same case for the Bucks. Or is just Giannis just that good that he kind of makes up for things that Jokic doesn't?
Well, I mean, I just think from a, like, offensively, the Nuggets pieces are great and they work really well. But, you know, who are their good defensive players other than Grant and Millsap?
I think Gary Harris. I think Will Barton is a good wing defender. Jeremy Grant. There's a reason I would not pick them over a team like the Lakers or the Clippers or the Sixers. But I think I don't think it would be like a Bucks sweep in the finals if they were to meet. I think they're a good team.
Okay.
I mean, would you make the same case that I just made for Denver for Utah? They're at plus 1,700.
Well, that one I would still rather bet them at plus 900 to win the West. And so.
Well, let's just go right into that. No more to say on that topic.
I mean, I think the Jazz are my pick to get the one seed. Okay. And so if you think a team's going to get the one seed and you can get them at plus 900 to win, to go to the finals, then I think that's a fine bet. I don't know if I'd bet it because I don't think they're going to get to the finals, and they wouldn't. I think I would pick both LA teams to get there over them.
What about Houston?
I think the Jazz are going to be a better playoff team than the Rockets because of the Westbrook thing. But the problem is, like, I would want to pick the Clippers to win it all. I just don't think that line's low enough. I don't have it in front of me.
Plus 200 to win the West and plus 330 to win the title.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not enough value, even though that is my pick. Yep, I don't think that's a good enough value.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are the team that kind of trumps everybody right now, and it's going to probably take an injury to change that, but we will see. Number one seed in the West, we've kind of discussed this. You're on the Jazz, I'm on the Nuggets. You also like the Rockets?
I like at plus 550. I mean, I could easily see the Rockets getting the one seed. I think it's kind of down to the Jazz, Rockets, and Nuggets. I think it's going to be one of those three teams that gets the one seed. Because
I don't think the Lakers or Clippers care.
Yeah, they don't care. They're going to be resting their guys when they feel like it, and it just getting the one seed means next to nothing to those teams, whereas the other three teams, it means a lot.
Yeah, in the East, the odds are what you'd expect. Milwaukee minus 130, Philly plus 160, and then a massive gulf.
I don't hate Milwaukee minus 130, no. To be honest, because it's basically, is Giannis going to have a significant injury?
Well, he very quietly missed 10 games last year.
Yeah.
You know, like he could easily play five more games this year than he did last year.
That one almost feels like, well, actually, the true, if you just bet on the Bucks to win their division, I think it's like minus 540, but that's kind of like the Patriots winning their division thing, where it's
Jags winning the NFC.
The odds are always crazy, but if you think about it, it's like, well, how is this not going
to
happen?
Right, exactly. I had the suggestion to maybe throw down a parlay on the division. You know, maybe parlay Philly winning the Atlantic at minus 160, the Bucks winning the Central at minus 550, and then the other one I would maybe think about is Miami winning the Southeast at minus 115, or even the Rockets winning the Southwest at minus 280.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love a good parlay, especially when one of those three. If you expand it to three, I think somebody lets you down. I think
it wouldn't even let me do it on FanDuel.
Just do the Sixers and Bucks ones, and yeah. It'll still only be like even, but I think you cash that pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Well, let's see. You know, you would get like. Wager $100 to win $92.
Yeah, that's what I'm about.
But if you wager $10,000, then we're really talking. Okay, so let's look at some player props real quickly. Sixth man of the year.
Maybe Lou Williams just wins it again, but I think Joe Ingles at plus 1400 and Bogdan Bogdanovic at plus 2600 are. You know, I don't like long shots that much for most of these, but I think for sixth man of the year, the people setting the odds just didn't really have a great grasp of.
No, wasn't Derrick Rose like the leading odds guy for most of last year?
Yeah, and I mean, if the Jazz again, I should just do a parlay with all my Jazz bets. Ingles with sixth man and Jazz win the West and all that stuff, but. You know, if the Jazz are as good as I think they're going to be, and if they start Royce O'Neal, then I think Ingles is a pretty obvious candidate. And then I love Bogdanovic, obviously. I think, you know, he might be their third best player, and he's going to come off the bench, so that's always good.
Mm-hmm. I do like the Ingles pick at 14-1 because they virtually came out and said earlier this week that he is going to be the sixth man, and that's half of it for these guys. Yeah. Like, we don't even know if they're going to meet the qualifications to be a sixth man, and I mean, Inglis has been a well above average starter for several years, and now just meeting that eligibility.
And he'll be the guy sort of running that second unit offense, and like you always want it to be a guy who is one of the team's five most important players, but isn't starting for whatever reason.
Right, and I would argue that he's their third or fourth most important player, probably fourth now with Conley there. I mean, he averaged 5.7 assists per game last year, and they don't exactly have a great backup point guard situation, so I think there's potential for that to be pretty replicable. I don't love a lot of the long shot guys. I mean, maybe Van Vliet at 3,300, Jaylen Brown at 3,300, but once you get below that, it's pretty bleak.
I don't mind Van Vliet.
Yeah. Marcus Smart, 7,500, maybe.
Van Vliet fits that bill, too. I mean, he's one of their five best players, and he's coming off the bench.
Scoring title. This one is very interesting. For all these stat-based props that we're about to mention, the minimum games played is 58. So if the player falls short of that, they're eliminated.
So I think Curry and Harden is a toss-up personally, and so the fact that Curry's plus 250 to me is good value. I think any other bet is a sucker bet. Like I think it's going to be Harden or Curry. I think that when you're the primary ball handler like that, and you're playing at that type of pace, you just have such an edge over a guy like Towns who's dependent on someone getting him the ball.
Sure.
And I think the numbers, I mean, I know it's a small sample, but the numbers when it's Curry and Draymond on the court without Clay and without Durant, like Curry averages like 42 points a game, basically, if you extrapolate it. So I definitely could see him averaging like 37, 38 points.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Harden do 36 last year, certainly in the realm of possibility. I think the only argument against those two is, like, if Curry gets hurt and doesn't meet 58 games, like, I feel like he runs a greater risk than some of these other guys. But at that point, then you probably just hand it to Harden.
Right. I mean, I think the 58 is kind of a nice number where
you can miss 20 games.
He could still get hurt and still get to 58.
Yep, I agree with you, though. Not a lot of the guys, like, you know, Davis is plus 950. That's like, way, you just those
know,
are terrible odds.
You know those guys aren't getting up to 35.
Right,
like Davis, you have to believe a guy can get to 35.
Right, Davis. I mean, Towns was kind of my one guy I was trying to make a case for earlier at 29-1. His best season is like 32 points a game, you know, and like in this NBA with these two guards at the top, you're just like 32 points a game isn't going to win you the scoring title in a year like this.
I was looking at, because I wanted to put something on Towns winning something, and like I was looking at rebounds, and it's just like I want to bet on Towns to finish as the number one fantasy player, basically.
Yeah,
but he's just not going to. You know, he's just trailing with rebounds. It's Drummond has like a nice fat cushion there, and Harden. Yeah. Curry
Drummond is minus 220. The next best odds are Embiid at plus 800.
Yeah, I mean, it's just with Towns should, like, he's talented enough to lead the league in rebounds. He just plays away from the basket enough that it's tough.
True. Well, and the thing with Drummond too is he never misses games, so I think that's baked into the odds too. Is like he's not playing fewer than 58.
Mm-hmm. Well, neither does Towns, but
true. Highest assist average.
I love the idea of betting Trae Young and LeBron James. Trae Young's at plus
350.
LeBron's at plus 360. And I feel really good about one of those two winning it. I just don't know.
Ironically, neither of them have the highest odds. That's Russell Westbrook at plus 300. I feel really good about Westbrook not leading the league in assists.
Right. I think that that would be a shocker if he did that in his current situation.
What would the number have to be for you to want to bet on Russ? I have no interest in plus 300, obviously, but like,
I mean, maybe if he was like plus like 550, plus 600, something like that. It's possible just because of the new offense and the fact that he'll actually have shooting around him. I just don't see his usage being high enough to get that.
No, I mean, the way that he's played to average to barely get to 10 a game the last few years has been so extreme that I, like, even if he's 80% or 90% of the player that he was, you know, in that OKC system that was so tailored to him, I think you're going to have to get to at least 9, 9.5 to lead the league. And yeah, I think Trae and LeBron are my two picks as well.
I mean, I think Trae, if you just set it at over under 9.5, I would go over and I'd bet a lot on it. I think Trae's pretty good bet to get to double digits. Who do you like more out of those two? Because the odds are pretty much the same.
I think Trae Young. There's this argument that like LeBron, you know, he's basically always said like, well, if I wanted to average 11 assists a game, I could. I want to see it. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. Is like you kind of want to see it before you actually buy into like, oh, you're actually gonna average that many assists.
I wonder too. I mean, this has never happened, even though we say it's going to happen every year. It's like, is this finally the year that they're a little more careful with LeBron's minutes? Can they afford to play him even 33 minutes per game as opposed to 35, 36, 37, like the last few years? Whereas I think if anything, Trae Young maybe takes on an expanded role. Like think of how bad he was for the first half of last year, and he still had awesome assist numbers. Like if he just, even if he gets off to a mediocre start, like he was so bad at the beginning of last year that that ended up pulling down his season-long averages.
I mean, I think there's a chance that Trae Young could lead the league and there'd be like a 2-assist gap between him and the next guy. Whereas I guess I don't really see that with LeBron. Like I could see Trae Young averaging like 13 assists or something.
Yeah. I could see Trae Young having a month where he averages 13 assists. Yeah. I think that's probably too high for the regular season, but I don't think Chris Paul is going to play 58 games. I kind of like his odds as finally getting the ball back in his hands for the first time in a while. I mean, he was a 10 assist a game guy with the Clippers. Ben Simmons at plus 700 is interesting, but I think, like you said, this isn't quite Curry Harden scoring title, but I feel very good, as do you, about Young or LeBron winning that. Okay, I have a couple quick questions for you before we head out. Who finishes third in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I hate this question. Like, it's been on a lot of podcasts I listen to as well, and it's just like, well, you know, the Celtics are... If you're not picking the Celtics, I feel like you're just being a contrarian just to be a contrarian, because I think it's tough to make an argument that it wouldn't be the Celtics. So,
all right. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm going Celtics.
Okay. Yeah. I think things would have to go wrong for them to not finish third, whereas a lot would have to go right for Orlando or anyone. Miami or whoever. Yeah. Where are you at on Indiana overall?
I'm really down on them. I don't know if I would say they're going to miss the playoffs, just because I don't think I could find eight teams that I like more than them, but I think they're going to have the 7 or the 8 seed. We don't need to relitigate this, but my dark horse pick would be the Raptors.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, you know how I feel about about that team. Which of these four Western Conference teams is most likely to sneak into the playoffs? New Orleans, Dallas, Sacramento, OKC.
Yeah, I mean, it's between New Orleans and Dallas to me, and it's really tough. I mean, I think both of these teams are going to win more games than the Warriors, for instance.
Really? Okay. I want to see the Warriors struggle before I buy into that.
I've seen enough. I've actually seen a little bit of their preseason, and I've seen the players in that rotation.
It's not good. And Omari Spellman's playing a lot of minutes.
Like, I've heard people say, like, well, if Steph Curry plays X number of games, then they'll get to like 45 wins. I'm not sold that if he plays 80 games, they get to 45 wins. Like, I think the talent around him is that bad that I just don't. Like, I think his numbers are going to be great, but their depth after their top three guys is just it's atrocious. And I think that the Pelicans have a ton of depth, and I think that the Mavericks are kind of this sort of sleeping giant where it's when it clicks with those guys, it's going to really click. And I think, like, Rick Carlisle's been sort of helping them tank these past couple of years, but he's still got it in him to be like a top three coach in the league. And so, I mean, if Porzingis and Doncic are as good as I think they're going to be, then they could win like 47, 48 games. Yep. But I'll say the Pelicans just because they have just so much quality depth. Although I'd like their chances more if Brandon Ingram wasn't on the roster at all.
Well, one final shot at Brandon Ingram. No, I'm with you on the Pels. It's definitely Pelicans or Dallas. I am not in on OKC at all. I know you'll read and hear stuff that, you know, some people think they'll be an AC competitor. Chris Paul is going to miss 20 games. Danilo Gallinari is just as injury-prone as Chris Paul.
Yeah, they're both going to miss.
They're openly trying to trade Steven Adams. Yeah. Like, no, I don't think even if they wanted to make the playoffs, I don't think they could. And I don't think they want to either.
No. They're completely out of this.
Yeah.
It sucks, man. I like the Kings a lot, too. They're just, the West is, what is it, like those top 12? So
I
don't think the Thunder have a chance. I don't think the Suns have a chance. I don't think the Grizzlies have a chance. But the other teams all have, you know, very plausible chances.
Yeah. So I didn't like Sacramento's offseason. I thought they had a chance if they made the right move or two to really kind of improve on last year. And they just did typical King stuff, like way overpaying Corey Joseph.
Well,
Trevor Ariza.
They upgraded, though, some areas that were, like, you know, Cauley-Stein to Deadman, to me, is a big upgrade. And then
if Deadman's healthy, sure. I mean, like, Rashawn Holmes.
Well, that one does make sense. I don't think he'll play, though.
They should have got rid of Bielitsa. I don't know why he's still on the roster. Big money to Harrison Barnes.
I mean, the jury's definitely still out, no pun intended, on whether Luke Walton's a good head coach.
Wow. Unbelievable. I didn't know where that was going.
But I think this is a tough roster for any coach to manage because you have just kind of all these redundancies on the wing and in the front court. I mean, it's going to be tough to dole out those minutes.
It's just a lot of like bad, needless depth, I think, at weird spots.
It's like,
this
team. We got a bunch of vets now. We're ready.
Exactly. It's the same thing they've been trying to do for the last 10 years. There is some mid-2000s Iverson potential with Curry this year, I will say. Like, Iverson's best scoring season was 33 points a game, and he had absolutely nothing around him, and that team won 38 games.
No, I mean, I think that that's sort of what's going to happen, and I think, like, I don't even think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot, like, the final 2 weeks. Like, I could see them just kind of resting Curry towards the end because it's just...
We'll see. I mean, Curry's obviously a much more efficient player than Iverson, so there are some differences there, and there's continuity with Kerr. They do have D'Angelo Russell, who I keep kind of forgetting about. They do have Draymond Green, but I think the risk that any of those guys, and especially Curry, miss significant time or even 10 games is huge. And, I mean, like you said, they're not even like – they don't have like league average guys at small forward and center. They have like G League guys on the wing, basically.
Curry's going to – go to the bench for a breather and the other team's going to go on a 10-0 run. And it's going to happen all the time. Whenever he's off the court, they're going to get just dramatically outscored.
Right. And like, I don't want to bet against Curry. You know, we just haven't seen him really struggle in forever. So it's kind of hard to imagine, but I mean, even, you know, that Cavs team 2 years ago that LeBron had that, you know, squeaked to like the 4 or 5 seed, barely got by Indiana in round one. Like I think I could kind of see this being you know, that version of the Warriors, but in a much tougher conference where they don't have the cushion that that Cavs team
has. It's the West, man. It's just the fact that they have to play all these other West teams so often, they're just so outnumbered in terms of quality players.
All right, we'll wrap things up here. A couple more nights of preseason games. Friday marks the final night of the preseason, and then a few days off, and the real thing starts next Tuesday. So we'll be back next week.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.